Life Audio.
Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. On today's episode, I wanted to talk about a unique topic. I want to discuss the topic of the gospel and human missions. The gospel and human missions. And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And this is dealing with mission work. And the way we think about mission work is often we have individuals that serve on behalf of a certain institution, and we send them forth to go share the gospel or to go plant churches or to go disciple other individuals in another country or another world. But in order for us to do that, there are certain things that must be in place. There are training that must be endured. There are sacrifices that have to be made. And there are mindsets that have to be developed. So when we look at some of the issues of going forth, we must count the cost. The problem is that in some cases, some missionaries have, especially looking at it from a historical lens, some missionaries have perpetuated the concept that Western civilization and culture are to be preferred over other cultures. We've seen in the early days of mission work where missionaries during the time of colonialism, as an example, would go forth into a third world country and have them change their names, have them dress like them, and have them adopt the cultural normatives based on their ideologies, their European mindset, or their Western mindset. So it almost comes across as though in order to be a Christian, you have to have a certain type of name. In order for you to be a legitimate Christian, you have to eat certain types of food. In order for you to be a Christian, you have to adopt certain type of idiosyncratic behavior. And that's not the case. That's not the case. There are beautiful cultures all around the world, and it is the job of the Christian missionary or the Christian evangelist to make sure that we share Christ and teach them within their own unique context. God gave us culture. God did not say, I prefer this one culture over another culture. God did not say, I prefer this one language over another language. So as missionaries, as those of us who go forth, we must be careful not to try to disciple people in our image, but rather in the image of God. And within the image of God, God will contextualize for them what Christianity means in that culture, within that culture. So we must be careful that we don't become so arrogant that we promote our culture over someone else's culture. So learn to be aware of human cultural differences will allow us to be more efficient in our witnessing. It will allow us to be more prudent in our witnesses. So we should always be open to help train others in the area of mission work. One of the things I'd like to propose is the concept of incarnating ourselves within a culture. And I don't mean that literally. I'm using that as a metaphor. We must incarnate ourselves if we are to win others to Jesus Christ. Jesus came to dwell among us, or in some translations said he came in tabernacle with us. He walked the same roads. He ate the same food. He spoke the languages. He fellowshiped with them and attended cultural programs. Jesus did it. So if Jesus is able to dwell among the people and walk the same roads and eat the same food, speak the language, fellowship with them, and attended their cultural programs, then what makes us so much better? So if I go into Papua New Guinea and they have a program, I'm not talking about anything heretical or sinful, but they have a program. They have a wedding banquet, and it's done differently than the way we do our wedding banquets. Doesn't mean that our way of celebrating a wedding ceremony is automatically better than the way they do it in Papua New Guinea. Likewise, we must follow the example of Jesus when we look at this incarnation methodology, the way he did it. There is an author by the name of Sherwood Lingenfelter, and he writes that cross-cultural workers must be socialized all over again into a new cultural context. They must enter a culture as if they were children, helpless, dependent, and ignorant of everything from customs of eating and talking to the patterns of work, play, and worship. And they must do this in the spirit of Jesus Christ. The essence of the incarnation is entering the cultural prison of others and submitting to it for the sake of the gospel. So again, the gospel never, ever change. The gospel cannot change. We must never alter the gospel. However, the message does not change, but we can change our methodology. The message of the cross never changed. The principles never changed. The doctrines ought to never change, but our methodology can be changed and modified. So when we're talking about cultural differences and the new missionary, the main burden of the Christian is to share the gospel. That is our burden, is to give the gospel away, is to tell others about the euangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ. And culture is very important to people. So when we encounter people, we are also encountering their culture. No one is divorced from their culture. It's always a part of us. We that have been raised in the West must recognize and appreciate these cultural differences. We must refrain from having this arrogant attitude by belittling other cultures. All cultures have some good as well as some bad attached to it, because all of us are born into sin, and we are under the power of sin until we accept Jesus Christ, who liberates us. We must learn to present the gospel in such a way that it can be readily accepted by what we call the receptor culture. The receptor culture, meaning the culture that's being fed into. So if missionaries came into my culture, we will be receiving what they're giving us. So we're, in a sense, are the receptor cultures or the receptor cultures. Since there are differences in how many people are perceived in the world, we must present the gospel accordingly. Again, not changing the message, but highly considering the culture and the methodology we use in order to reach them right where they are. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And since there are differences, we must be sensitive to this. The old ways of colonial missionary work has been tainted with negative biases. So, for example, if I'm going to make an impact in an African community, I must consider the unique culture that they have. I must ascertain the mode of communications and use that as an instrument to promote the good news of Jesus Christ. In addition, I must be ready to be uncomfortable with some things that I'm not used to. Again, I'm not talking about anything sinful. I'm talking about doing something in the culture that's different than another culture, not any sinful behavior that the Bible has already denounced. So when we talk about incarnating the gospel as evangelists, as missionaries, we must be incarnational. Just like Christ, when he came down and among the people in the first century Palestine, we must follow his method of witnessing. Jesus dressed, he talked, and he ate like a Jew. Jesus did not look down on the customs such as the festivals, the Passover, the Feast of the Booths, etc. Jesus participated in the social, cultural aspect of his culture. He even went to a wedding banquet and performed a miracle. Likewise, we must incarnate within our culture in order to express the gospel, or a foreign culture in order to express the gospel. As we enter new cultures, the initial barrier is often a misunderstanding of the native culture. Believers must learn the language, the gestures, the superstitions, and other customs. So even in America, if we go to work, if we deal with different people, we see that there are already some obvious obstacles. Perhaps we don't speak the same language as our neighbor. Perhaps we don't eat the same type of food or visit the same grocery markets as our neighbor. And there's a reason for that. Each culture has its own niche, and each culture finds its comfortability in what they do, and they rest in that. So, in terms of culture and different ways of doing things, and again, I'm not talking about anything sinful. I'm just talking about a different way of doing something. There's nothing wrong with that. And we must not get to the point where we feel the way that we eat. Oh, we eat with forks and knives, so our culture is better than another culture. That's not in Scripture. Just because you eat with forks and knives, that makes you more righteous than someone else. We have shoes, and these people walk without shoes. So our culture is automatically better than another culture. There's nowhere in scripture. That's your preference. And you can go to certain parts of the world and give them things, and you assume that it's because they don't have it, or and if they receive it, then they'll want that which you want to give them. And that's not necessarily true. You can go to different parts of the world and give them shoes, and as soon as they put them on, they'll take them off because they prefer to wear slippers. They prefer to wear some other type of clothing apparel. So let's not become arrogant in our own culture. That's the key. As Christ would do, we must meet people where they are and incarnate ourselves into the situation, and I'm using it metaphorically. So as we enter these new cultures, let's be sensitive. We must learn the language. Don't think, well, I speak English, so I must teach them to speak English because English is a better language. There's nothing wrong with them learning English, but don't automatically assume that their language is inferior to yours. So what else can we do? There's a lot that can be lost in translation. There's a lot that can be lost in translation. And becoming incarnate can help them to reduce this roadblock. And I'm using that word incarnate as a metaphor, not literally, but as a metaphor. In order to minimize the challenges of clear communication, we must, as missionaries, as evangelists, as those of us that preach and teach the gospel, we must refrain from our hubris, our arrogance. We must go into a culture. Look at this. As a student, when I go into a different culture, I'm going into it as a student. I'm humble. I'm ready to learn. Why is it that you all do this? Why is it that you all do that? I'm not automatically going to come into a culture, go into a culture and observe what they're doing and say, hey, I come from America and you all need to stop what you're doing this way and do it the American way. No, 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 no. That's not what contextualizing the gospel is all about. When we're sharing the gospel, our main objective is for them to accept Jesus Christ and to become followers of Jesus Christ. And this is where the term discipleship comes from, is becoming a student of Jesus Christ. That's our primary duty. Now, our duty is not to have them look like us. Our duty is for them to follow Jesus Christ in their own context, for them to follow Jesus Christ in their own cultural normative. That is our, or should be our approach. In order to establish trust with the receptor culture, meaning the people that we're witnessing to, we must explain our ways to them, and we must allow them to explain their ways to us. Once we follow this method of give and take, we soon discover that there are other ways to view the culture, and there are other ways to do some of the same things, and we're not talking about doctrine. We can learn to view the culture from the inside out, which some anthropologists call the emic view. Becoming part of the new culture does not mean we have to give up our own. It does mean trying all we can to absorb what we can from the foreign culture or the receptor culture without us losing our core identity. And the core identity, to me, should be who we are in Jesus Christ, and then culture becomes secondary. So, again, knowing the culture, contextualizing in the culture, incarnate in that culture, and learning all that we can from different cultures, because God gave us culture to glorify him, not to live in a sinful way. But there's a blessing in the distinction. There's a blessing in the differences. There's a blessing in various languages. There's a blessing in various apparel. There's a blessing in various dialect. There's a blessing in the multiplicity that exists within cultures. On a spiritual level, we must become again incarnate without losing our identity or who you are in Jesus Christ. Christ is indeed our model. We must become learners who are willing to adopt the language as well as the customs. We have to learn the idioms and the gestures of a specific culture so that we may reach them in a better way. Have you ever tried to share the gospel with someone and you had good intentions, but you wind up offending them? It's a lot harder to share the gospel when you are offending people because of your preferences and your approach. You offended them, not because of the gospel. They're offended because of how you delivered the gospel. And so it's important that we remain sensitive and practice wisdom and use wisdom when we're sharing with other people. There's a way to share the gospel without being rude. It's a way to share the gospel without being naturally offensive. It's different if you're sensitive, you're humble, you're loving, and you share the gospel and people are offended by the message of the gospel. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people are offended because of your methodology. That's something we have control over. And so to be good stewards, we have to make sure that we're doing it just the way God wants us to do it, from a humble perspective, not from an arrogant perspective, and from a model that makes it more palatable for people to listen to the gospel. So cultural assumptions of Western missionaries or those people that live in the West that are trying to share the gospel. Each individual develops, look at this, a blind spot. We all develop a blind spot. All of us have blind spots. If you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your spouse knows exactly where your weaknesses are and vice versa. And so the people we live with, they know the most about us, and they see things about us that we don't even see. That's what we call blind spots. There are some things that we think we have together, but we don't see it. It's in the blind spot area. Things that we fall short on. And these individuals, because they love us, they are able to bring forth the information and say, hey, you know, this part of you, you need to work on. And if we are humble enough, we're able to accept it and we're able to improve in that area and then move on to another issue because we all have blind spots. We are most of the time not aware of the assumptions made about our reality. And so because we all have blind spots, it's humbling. You can't stay arrogant. You can't stay prideful knowing that we are God's workmanship and he's still working on us. And so when it comes to our culture, you may love your culture, which is a good thing. But when your culture becomes a weapon to the point where you're weaponizing it and promoting your culture above other people's culture, then we have a problem. All cultures are equally relevant. All cultures are equally relevant. Now, if I come into contact with a different culture and don't understand why they do the things they do, it behooves us to learn why they do what they do so we can meet them right where they are and we can be better witnesses. So in order to avoid such pitfalls, we must be willing to become learners of the host community. So as witnesses, those of us who witness, we must be willing to entertain as well as consider what others think of us. It's not just a one-way street. It's a two-way street. So it's only by asking these questions that the receptor community can tell us what they think about us. So hopefully this episode has enriched you as it relates to how we approach people of different backgrounds. This world is so close now. We can fly to destinations that we couldn't fly to before. We can take cruises to different places that we couldn't go before. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we're not being rude, that we're not becoming a hindrance for other people hearing the gospel. We must share Jesus in love, and that's what Jesus wants us to do. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you can have all these things, but if you don't have love, you don't have much. You're just a tinkling cymbal. So we must make sure that when we're witnessing for Jesus, we're doing it for the right motive and not because we're trying to win arguments, not because we're trying to tell other people their culture is insignificant or subpar. So we must have the love that Jesus wants us to have. We must be humble. We must thank God for the opportunity to share the gospel in love. Again, we are praying for you. We ask that you continue to pray for us. Continue to give online, srministries.org. And remember to do for the truth what so many people do for a lie. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries.
Hey, Ted, what do you want to do today?
Well, Ashley, I've always got work to do, naps to take, but I have a better idea. How about we invite everyone to listen to the Timos podcast?
I love that idea. Let's do it right now. Hi, everyone. We're Ted and Ashley Slater, and we'd love for you to join us as we talk about teamwork in marriage.
We share how grace, commitment, and cooperation can help couples live the everyday moments of marriage together.
To listen, go to lifeaudio.com and search for Team Us.